Curly and Kansai, a podcast about us two curly-headed girls living in the Kansai area of...
Yapunya.
What language is that now?
It is Russian.
Okay. And how long, how many times have you practiced that?
Actually, that was the first time I practiced it, but I was learning Russian because my best friend was a Russian major.
Hey.
So I was trying to learn Russian. It's really hard.
When was this?
This was a long time ago, at least like 4 or 5 years ago. I was using Memorize because Memorize had just come out and they had a Russian like alphabet thing. And I got to like, I memorized the alphabet and then I gave up.
This means it's Russian.
This is really hard.
Anyway, I'm Ayanna.
I'm Elise.
And let's start this show.
Okay.
So let us now... What am I trying to do?
What are you trying to do?
What am I trying to do, everybody? Tell me. Tell me.
We're gonna recap.
There we go.
Episode 27.
What was that about?
It was about... Was that the LGBTQIA? Yes. No.
Well, we can say it all, but when I asked a friend, they said just saying LGBT is okay as well, because that's what they used for a long time. So we are trying to be inclusive and make sure we say it correctly. So we can say both LGBT, LGBTQIA+, all of those. Everybody, let's get it. So we had Maya as a guest.
Yes.
And first comment we had is from, this is funny, her name is Ayanna.
Yeah.
Hey, we got the same name, but different spelling.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey.
Whoop, whoop.
Ayanna C said, go ahead.
I really love your show, and this episode made me tear up a bit hearing my story. Though that whole thing about passerby gropers happened to my friend while in Japan about 12 years ago when I was like 15, and we were just walking across a crowded street in broad daylight, and this guy literally put up his phone as if to take a picture of my friend's breast. She is a pretty ample-chested person. And he just groped her as we walked by. Like, seriously, that guy had no fucks to give. It's crazy how much this seems to happen.
Yes, like, I feel, yeah. Every woman has been at least sexually assaulted or in some way harassed in their life.
In their life and in Japan, for sure.
For sure, for sure.
It's not uncommon.
It's very sad. And like the whole like drive-by or walk-by kind of thing is terrible. And like that was in broad daylight, they said, right?
Yeah.
Your incident was in the club.
In the club. And then I just remembered. When I was visiting as a high school student, me and my friend was walking somewhere like in Yokohama, and we were walking by and this guy took a photo under my skirt, and my friend saw him do that and went after him and was like, what did you just do? And then he like ran away. And I just remember that happened.
So sometimes I feel like as women, we try to forget these things.
Definitely.
Especially if it's not too violating. Like that is violation, but it wasn't physical. It didn't touch you. Because I feel like if you physically touched you, you would have remembered that sooner.
Yeah.
But like for those pictures and like a guy masturbating in the same area. Like, that was traumatic. That was traumatic for you.
That is real. I like, even now when I'm on the train, I'm like looking around like,
it's like, don't touch doors.
Yeah. Before I lean on something, I'm like.
Especially in the Chua line, because you could be someone.
When I got on the trains this Monday, it was super rush hour. And I was just like, I hope nobody's masturbating on somebody. Like, that was my fear on a Monday morning, like rush hour. Like, I hope nobody's masturbating on my clothes right now, because that would really suck.
That is so bad.
Yeah.
I'm never on that line because we take the same line during a really bad rush hour.
Yeah, but going from this side is not so bad. Well, I guess they have the people from the tram though, right? Not the tram.
I guess.
What's it called?
Is it the light rail? That's a tram.
It's a tram.
I think so. So whatever.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Damn. Because I have people from Nara. So they jump on from Nara and then rise through all the way through like East Osaka.
The only time it's busy is when people go to USJ. Not USJ.
I'm going to say.
That's JR.
Yeah.
talking about the aquarium.
When
people go to the aquarium. Because I live near the Osaka Aquarium. So there's that. So next comment we have is from Aisha, a repeating commenter. Thank you. She said, love this episode and your guests. See, Mai, you have fans.
Woo-hoo.
I kept telling her because what Mai did tell me was that as a Japanese, when she talks about issues like that in Japanese, she always gets criticized and negative feedback in
Really?
Japanese. Yeah.
Wow.
Or like people don't want her to talk about stuff like that. Because she says that she likes to talk about deep conversations more so than other Japanese, yes. Which I get knowing her.
Yeah.
So she just felt like kind of nervous. I don't know if anybody could tell, but she was a little bit nervous and filtering herself a lot.
Oh, really?
And I even told her, like, you know, you're okay. You were fine. You did well. And everybody was saying that they loved your commentary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was so happy and grateful. So I'm telling everyone, thank you. She said, thank you. Okay. So then Aisha says, I have one question for you guys and Mai. Do you think Japan would gradually improve on LGBT rights and eventually introduce gay marriage like Taiwan? So Mai's comment was a bit long. So I will tell you, if you want to read all of it, please go back to that episode and you can go to Aisha's comment. And I wrote down the reply. Like, I had to ask mine and she messaged me and then I had to copy and paste.
Yeah.
So what I will say, little bits from what Mai said, there are groups of people who are working on legalizing same-sex marriage, i.e. the Legal Network for LGBT Rights submitted. They submitted a request on behalf of 455 LGBT petitioners under the Human Rights Remedy Program to the Japan Federation of Bar Association in 2015. Then she said, in current authoritative and conservative... I don't even speak like this. This is hard for me.
I get it. Your thesis?
Right? In current... this is like a blurb. It's supposed to be a comment. But it's fine, Mai. Don't worry about it because I know she listens. In current authoritative and conservative political climate, I do not see any substantial and meaningful legal changes happening anytime soon. In fact, we are witnessing growing backlash from conservative powerful elites, who are the same people who fought hard against feminists demanding gender aware and sex education in the 90s. And then also, I guess it is worth noting that we have a rather flexible adoption system originated as a way to continue the patriarchal family system.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese adoption systems allows adults to get adopted. So some same-sex couples choose to adopt one of each other, so they have legal relations.
Wow.
Yeah, so instead of
becoming
marrying...
Because
it's like, what else can you do to get the legal rights,
In case one of them gets sick and they have to go to the hospital. Wow.
Right. So some LGBTQ people are skeptical of the institution of marriage altogether, like some feminists and some people with Baraku origins.
Ooh,
can Buraku. You explain to... Oh, sorry, I said Baraku. Buraku. Can you explain what that means?
Is this like the Chitamachi people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like they're the undesirables and they were people that had... jobs that, like, morticians, how do you say
slaughter? No,
what is it called? Meat people?
Meat slaughtering? That's not the word. Damn it.
What is it called?
They're the ones that...
The people that handle, like, blood, like, things that are considered unclean.
So, like, cutting meats and stuff like that.
Cutting meat, handling dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
People that, had those kind of professions, they were forced to live, and this is, like, Edo era or earlier...
Right.
They are forced to live in certain areas of the city, and those areas were marked on older maps, and now they've tried to, like, kind of hide where those areas are because there has been discrimination of people from those areas because it's like, oh, you're from an area that had, like, bad, unclean people in it.
Right.
So that's a ongoing kind of class problem.
And then they track it, like you said, I think you said, by last name? Do they?
No, they track it by the area. So, like, when you have your family registry in Japan, has, like, where your family is from. So they can just go to your family registry and be like, oh, you're from this area.
Right.
That means you're probably one of the undesirables.
Which I think is so ridiculous because it's 2018. Like, that shit doesn't matter anymore, but it's ingrained in their culture.
They even fought Google on it because Google wanted to release historical maps of Japan on Google Maps. But they're like, if you superimpose them, you'll figure out where... those people live, like the dirty areas are. And those people that live in those areas, it's going to be difficult for them to get jobs. So don't do that. And so Google didn't put that out.
All right. Well, so let me just go back to that again because I kind of cut it off. So some LGBTQ people are skeptical of the institution of marriage altogether, like some feminists and some people with Buraku origins, wondering if legalizing a same-sex marriage is a good way to go.
Mm.
So... maybe the adoption thing is better? Not so sure.
I mean, I wonder if they have something like civil unions. Is that the same thing as marriage, a civil union?
Oh yeah, that's that's pretty much the same thing. But there's like common law in America. I don't know if they have that here. But again, if it's same sex, they probably wouldn't.
I don't know. Japan, Japan's legal system is even more confusing than their cultural landscape. So,
so there's that. I hope that answered most of your question, Aisha. I'm sorry. It seems kind of bleak at this point compared to Taiwan.
Yeah, they're nowhere near as progressive as Taiwan. No. The people I met in Taiwan are way more, they're way more open to different things.
So... there was that. But I think this episode is not about LGBT again, but we will eventually try to talk to foreigners who are in the community, like, hardcore, and see what their experience. All right, let's start with our main topic. We are going to talk about our organizing of events in Osaka, because I am the founder of a group called Black Creatives Japan on Facebook, and... me and Elise and a couple of us are on the events community team to try to build up our community with more creative events.
It reminds me of, like, class presidents. Like, we're going to have a pep rally.
It's going to be in March. I really hope you guys show up.
Whatever. That's what it sounds like. Well, it's because, like, you know, I've been here in Osaka for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And as much as I enjoy sometimes going out to the club, there are things that I felt were missing in the community. And I know that in Tokyo, there are people who have, like, art exhibits and just, like, kind of, like, different kinds of parties, not just the regular hip-hop party or top 40 party.
It's not about drinking and getting drunk.
It's about just enjoying the vibes a little bit more so than just getting drunk and hooking up with someone. So I just wanted a little bit more of that. I know that it is around there, like, with Japanese people, but I wanted to see, like, if foreigners can get together as well as Japanese, mix it in, and see what we can do. So last weekend, we had our Showcase and Chill event. This is the second time we did it.
Yes.
And what do you think? How was the
event? I thought it went really well. It was not as many people as last time, but it was better that way because people could move around. People could, like, hang out outside and chat and mingle a little bit more easily than they could last time.
Yeah, the first time we had it was in January, and it was in a place called Bistro New Orleans. A small kind of, it's not that small, but
it's like cafe size.
It's cozy. And during the winter, when we have all the bags and coats, it was really, really crowded, and over 60 people were in there. So it was over capacity, basically. But this time around, it was a little less. I would say like a good 10, 20 people less.
Yeah. So it wasn't actually that much less, but... it was a good number of people, and everybody was feeling the, like, creativity. We had an art raffle, so we raffled off some artwork.
We raffled her artwork. It was really good. It's really nice. And the lady who won, she messaged us, and or she put on Facebook that she framed it. I'm like, oh my God.
It looks so good.
It looks so much, like, it was already a nice piece of art, but, like, as it framed?
It was gorgeous.
It just, like, upped
it. I was like, is that mine?
It level up.
Mine?
Leveled.
I need to frame stuff more often, maybe.
That's what we need to
change your perspective on your own artwork when you frame it.
It really does. And, like, we had more photography this time. I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Although I feel like we still need a little bit more. It would be nice. But, I mean, I think we had more art this time than we had last time.
Yeah, I think we did. We did. Yeah. So that was cool.
I had to get on people. And people were still late. And I just, like, you know what? Artists... or just creative people in general, don't always work on the same timeline. So I have to adjust.
They're very free.
They're very free. And it's like, I get it. I'm a creative too. But I think I'm a little bit more anal with certain things.
And I think your creativity needs you to be on time.
And it's like, as an organizer, you need to.
Yeah. You have to be timely. You have to have a schedule. You have to get things done by a certain time. Other art is just like, whenever I feel
the moment.
So some people are like, I don't think I'm going to be done within a week. Or, it's not going to work out that way.
Oh, no.
So I gave a deadline. Basically, the deadline was to help me print out as much as I can. And then whoever is late, I can just do that last minute. So I still had to do that. And the day of, my schedule, I had a, like a schedule of when to like meet everybody and wow. start setting up. Everything right. was an hour and a half behind the schedule. Ooh. And then also 5 days before, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell this little story.
Uh-oh.
5 days before the event, my committee team was telling me that they couldn't meet up at the time that I gave the schedule. So I was just like, oh my God. I'm not gonna have anybody.
I don't know what she's talking about. I told her.
Well, no. So here's the thing. There was one guy who couldn't. Yeah. And he told us months ago that yes. he couldn't. Then there was another lady who couldn't. Yes. And she told me a month ago yes. because she's working. And then you told me, but I forgot or I didn't register.
She doesn't love
it. It just didn't register. So I was like, what? So that's three people. Mm-hmm. And then another girl was like, oh, I work at a nightclub. The night before, so I probably won't make it that time. Mm-hmm. She was actually later than before. Then, but we're looking at you. We know who you're talking about. But that's not what I want to say. You know who we're talking about.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. That's what I meant to say. You know who you are. Starts with a T. But it's all good. She eventually came through, and then we had one dude. That's not gonna name that name, but he also knows who he is. I'm just like, it's a little bit frustrating as like a group leader because everybody that I talk to about it is like, yeah, this is like school project and people just
it's
not doing all the work.
Group project
but it's
vibes.
Like, this is not a school project. This is actually like
this is real life project.
Exactly. And you're making money out of it, and it's just
we're
like,
trying to right.
It's just like hopefully the next event that we do, I can actually pay everybody. You know? Because right now, whatever, the little we do make is for the next event.
Yes.
So it's
everything
not like
everything rolls over
yeah,
for like
not
buying supplies, paying for prints, or, you know, next we're buying lights.
That'd be nice.
Try to decorate the space, create new vibes.
Just be all artsy and shit.
Yeah, we want to make like a experience that people in Japan haven't had.
So. Right. So I think like...
It costs money.
Have you ever... No, because when we were in America, it was like we were mid... How old? Mid-20s? Oh, for you.
I was early 20s. I left America in my early 20s.
So I didn't necessarily make events, but did you ever make an event in school?
No, I did, actually. I worked at a con. I worked at an anime convention in my area, Anime USA, I think it was. It was years ago now. I was in college, and me and my friends were into host clubs. And we were like, it would be so cool if we had a host club at our local con, because my friend was friends with like the people that ran con, and they're like, yeah, sure, you guys can put together the host club. So me, her, and it was just three of us, and we had to get like an application form together. We held auditions for the host. We had photo shoots organized. We had to talk with the hotel about what kinds of champagne to put out, how we're going to handle food, how to handle cash, because we are not like licensed, so we can't actually sell alcohol, but we have to sell it through the hotel.
Right.
We had to get the games for it, and we had to do also the maid cafe.
Oh, wow.
And then we ran it during con. Those 3 days, we had to go to the venue, handle, you know, like angry customers, get people organized. If people didn't show up on time, where's so and so? You know, they have to be here for their shift because another person wants to go do stuff. And that was, I do remember, my friend was the leader of that one. And I think she had a mini breakdown during that. It was stressful. I mean, we were all stressed. And it wasn't like none of us were trying to do our best. It was just like no matter what she did, something else would happen. Some other problem would occur. Mm-hmm. So it was like your work is never done.
Yeah. So then that means you had experience doing events then.
Yeah, that's why I feel like I'm pretty sympathetic.
Thank you.
When it comes to helping out, because I get it. Like, doing an event is hard. It's rewarding, but it's a lot.
It's a lot of work. So I will admit that I've had two blow-ups with you before.
Was it
two or was it one? I yelled at you once during the Black Panther event.
Yeah. I was like...
So, and I think before
I looked at her like...
Before that, I think I don't know if I yelled at you, but I probably said something not so nice and in a nice tone. So I was
I don't
like,
remember that one, but I do remember Black
I had to catch myself because I had talked to another friend about that. It's like, well, you know, you understand stressful moments. Like, I understand it's stressful, but I don't want to be yelling at my best friend. So that's not something I want to keep doing because I'm stressed.
Right.
So I had to like catch myself. Mm-hmm. And I was still stressed the day of showcase.
Right.
But I did my best.
I could tell.
Everyone could tell that I was stressed.
But you were very quiet about
it. I was doing my best, although Danielle
I had told her. I was like, I was being extra snarky with her because I was stressed, but I wasn't mad at her.
Yeah.
It was just more like...
She takes it well, though.
My sarcasm was going to get extra snarky.
It's like water off her back. She's like, whatever. Right.
So she was fine, and I made sure to tell her that I was not, like, mad at
her. It's not personal.
It wasn't personal. But there was a point where everyone's asking questions at the same time. And she's like, I had it. I'm like, Danielle, stop. Okay, all right. Finish what you're saying. All right, okay. All right, what do you want, Danielle? You handled it well.
You've gotten better. You can, every time you do an event, though, you get better at managing the chaos.
That's good.
And I think for someone, you say you don't have any experience back in the States. No. So coming to Japan and then just doing it in Japan, which means half the time, maybe the work is not in your native language.
Right.
You do very well.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome
for that. And thank you for being such a great supporter and help. We do a lot of the grunt work, I think.
We are busy people. And then we have like all these other side projects that we want to do personally. So we get confused.
Yeah, there are times where I'm like, oh shit, I was supposed to do something for your band. So I'm just like, oh wow, okay. And then we have podcasts. Yep. So as to our doing a lot of creative projects, side projects, and other things.
Always.
But
I don't know why we do this to ourselves.
I don't know why either. Because like we're both into many things.
Yes.
You have a lot of hobbies and I have a lot of interests. I might not do everything.
You do a lot of meetings with people. You're always meeting people, talking with people, setting up stuff with people.
Why do I do that?
I think you enjoy it. That's why. You enjoy meeting people.
Sometimes I'm just like so tired. I'm like, I need a break.
But in the end, you're really glad you met people.
That's true.
You're like, I know this person. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad I hung out with them that one time. Maybe I was really tired, right. But I hung out with them anyway. Right. And now I have a connection to this other thing.
Because there's this one time, especially the Black Panther event, there was just a lot of people.
That was a lot.
My energy was so spent. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I actually don't like being in a big crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like people connecting with others.
Yeah.
So it's like I was grateful for that. But in general, I'm better with like interpersonal communication, like one-on-one or smaller group. So like, yeah, for my birthday, I invite a lot of people. But I'm not expecting everybody to come. But if everybody comes, I'm like, damn it, why did I invite all of you?
Because if you didn't invite them, they'd be like, why you ain't invite me, Ayana?
Like, so that's the problem. Like, I know some people are like, this is why I don't have a lot of friends. Because like you can just keep your circle small. Mm-hmm. But like I have my close-knit friends. And then I have my like acquaintances and people in the middle.
Business partners.
It's just like I try my best to, you know, put out my energy healthily. Healthily, that's not a word. But, you know, in a healthy amount that I can.
Manageable way.
But it's hard. So sometimes I feel bad when I miss people. But I'm like, if you cancel on me, I totally understand when people cancel on me. I'm like, it's okay.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm the same way.
Sometimes I want people to cancel. When they do, and I'm like, yes, I'm free.
It's like when you get that snow day from school. You're like,
right. Actually, I used to hate snow days because I always had crushes on guys. So I always wanted like, I want to go to school and see the dude.
No, I was like snow day. I was playing like, my video games.
I was like boy crazy. But anyway.
Is that any different from now?
No, it's... What?
I'm just kidding.
If you can tell people who are watching the video, I am hot.
She got her flannel shirt on and it's like the end of freaking May, early June. It's not flannel season.
I know, but I just... Okay, anyway. So, yeah, organizing an event in Japan in general, I feel, is difficult. It's one big old project.
It's difficult, but it's more doable maybe than the States because you have the transportation system that's pretty reliable. Yeah. A lot of things are open late at night. And I think there's like more shops. There's like more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Except for like DIY stuff. America has more DIY stuff. So you can go to Lowe's and get like, you know, like nuts and bolts and like things to make stuff. In Japan, it's a little bit more difficult and more expensive.
Yes.
But, you know, finding venues or finding equipment. Like we have studios where you can rent microphones. You can rent amps, guitars, drum sets. You know, you could rent a whole band,
yeah,
and it's for pretty cheap. So in that sense, Japan is easier, I think, than the States.
All right. Well, I guess maybe I was thinking about, like pricing things for people. I think that was the most difficult in the beginning. Like, how much should we charge these events when, like, a lot of people are like, I'm broke. A lot of foreigners say they're broke.
I mean, you don't make a lot of money.
We don't make a lot of money, which is okay. I understand that. Right. But it's just, like... I can't I can't make anything if I, you know, don't charge it a certain amount.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure people come too.
Right.
But I also heard that Japanese people, once they are like okay with whatever event, they will pay however much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I heard.
They're loyal customers.
They're loyal. They are. So in our first event we had, we charged like $15. And then this time we did.
And you got a drink ticket.
So and you got a drink like ticket. Drink or food. Like you choose whatever. And then we had like a $5 like menu list. But then if you wanted something off that menu, you can order. And then this time around we did $20. But we also started online ticketing. Mm-hmm. So you can buy for $15, get the art raffle, and then also the drink or food ticket.
Yeah, that's so, a pretty good deal.
That was a really good deal.
So I think that was a good deal.
Yeah,
maybe more. I think maybe more people will do it next time when because a lot of people like the stuff we had at the raffle. So if we can keep getting good stuff for the raffle,
but if we do that again, if we keep it in the same place, then that's fine. Yes. But if we go to another place, there's no food, then it'll be a little bit different.
This is true. The whole setup changes. That's another headache.
That's another headache.
When you change venues, basically your whole system changes.
Right. And like Bistro New Orleans has really good New Orleans food, or New Orleans. Sorry,
Nolens. CC.
New Orleans. He wants me to say New Orleans because he's from New Orleans. So. Yeah, it's really good food, and I know people like to go there for that, but if we want to expand the event a little bit, we're going to need a little
like have a bigger space. Performance space.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like...
Because right now, the event is just very, very cozy.
Mm-hmm. And it's very comfortable.
Ain't nobody want to be in the front and center, like, to watch. They're just like, let's go to the side.
In the back, all up on the pillars.
Right? But, yeah, I would say it was... it's pretty good to know people. That's another thing. Because... Mm-hmm. For this event, I know the owner of the restaurant.
Right.
And in the event that we're having in June, we have our friend who's in the event committee who knows the
that
owners.
Owner, yeah.
So knowing people help because then you can get either a discount or for free.
Right. It's better than just cold calling and being like, can I have an event? Because they'll have probably an event plan.
Right.
But those event plans are not cheap.
Ridiculous.
If it's a nice club or if it's a nice
and
hall.
And it's always, like, time limited to, like, 2 hours.
Yeah. And if you go over that, then there's, like, the extra charge. And then you have to pay for, like, oh, if you want lights, you got to pay the light dude, the lighting person, the PA person. Like,
I'm not about that life.
It gets expensive. Renting a hall, I think, is maybe more expensive in Japan than it might be in the States.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Renting the equipment, not so expensive. Renting the hall with the equipment, very expensive. So that's why it's hard for independent bands to have shows at live houses because they're either paying to have that live house space for like 2 or 3 hours, which of course they don't need. Mm. So then they call other bands so that they can all split the cost of the hall.
Mm-hmm.
But then the tickets are still like 2,500 yen, which is like $25. And no one in the States would pay $25 for like an unsigned band.
You know, they do it more in Tokyo. It's like 3,000, 4,000, sometimes 5,000 yen, which is like $50, y'all.
For an unsigned indie performance.
Yep.
I mean, I get it if they're good, but at the same time, I'm like...
You gotta really have that fan base and those loyal Japanese fans because... Yeah,
they'll pay.
They a lot pay. Of times, like, when I'm in Tokyo and my friends who are singers have events, it's like 4,000 yen.
Wow.
And it's like, if they weren't, like, my really good friends, I would be like, maybe next time, maybe next time.
That's not cheap.
But, like, I go and, you know, hoping that they have a good turnout, and they sometimes have... You know, some good turnout, but they have told me that there are times there's like nobody came.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and they have to pay, they're paying to like rent that space or like.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
That's, yeah.
Pretty so, a lot of, that's why they say a lot of people that do music in Japan, they're students, so their income, if they work part time, they don't pay for their apartment or they're not paying for like, you know, utilities because they live with their parents. So, all of their money. Goes to being in the band. It goes to renting live houses and all of that stuff.
Right. So I guess, like, comparing, like, Tokyo and Osaka from what I've experienced, like, my friend Janique, she's a really good singer. She had her album release party when I went to Tokyo...
Last week?
Yeah, last week. Mm-hmm. And she told me that, like, yeah, it's pretty expensive to rent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from, like, 7 to 11. was the okay. event time, but then of course they had rehearsal.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, dang. I forgot the number, but I was like, damn, that's expensive. I was like, I've never. No wonder her price was $4,000.
Right. You gotta try to make some of that money back.
Right, right. It was actually not $4,500. So yeah, exactly. Ooh. And then she told me that her senpai mm-hmm. had an event and it was like $5,000 and she had two sets mm-hmm. and it was $5,000 for each set. So, what? So yeah, and
so you had to leave if you didn't pay for the
set. I don't know the procedure of what happened, but she told me like she was trying to go and then she saw it and she was like, I don't know if I can.
It's like I'm not balling. No, I can't drop 100
like that.
I can't drop 100 on you, friend.
Right. So maybe I just go half the time. I love you, but oh, wow.
Tokyo is like no joke when it comes to like expensive shit. Tokyo got it.
They got that, and people pay because it's just what they're used to.
Yeah, yeah, it's
Osaka,
true.
Osaka, they are pretty much into like saving money and penny pinching.
Yes, they will not spend their coin unless they absolutely have to exactly. do it. So that's why I think there's a lot of street performers in Osaka.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you have, like, Osaka Park, right. which me and my band perform at sometimes, which is free for people to just stop and listen to music. Mm-hmm. Like, those kinds of events. There's a lot of outdoor free music events okay. in Osaka. Yeah. So those are really popular.
So I would say in Osaka, maybe you should, you know, if you want to
I think try. If you're, yeah, if you want to do, like, a low-key kind of music-type lifestyle, if mm-hmm. you're not really trying to get signed to a label or get right. noticed, you just right. want to enjoy performing.
Right.
Osaka is much more... Right. It's better for you.
But if you're trying to, like, be serious... Yeah, and if you're trying to go major... And you live in Japan, then Tokyo it is.
Tokyo's the only option.
You know, as much as I dislike people saying, I gotta move to Tokyo, like, I'm like, don't move to Tokyo. But if that's what you're doing, like, especially, like, modeling too. Modeling yeah. and singing, all that, if you want to make a living out of it in Japan, yeah. you have to do it in Tokyo,
unfortunately. I think we could make Osaka great.
It's gonna take time, and I don't know if
we're not
my yeah, because like, I don't think what I'm doing is gonna help that.
We're gonna build our own scene.
Yeah, that's basically what we're doing right now. Just building our own scene. So if that works out, then if you're here in the time, then you know,
come check out our scene.
Come check it out. So in the event we mm-hmm. hosted. It was me and you who hosted. The first yes. time it was our friend Fernando, yes. and he did a really good job, but
oh, hilarious.
He couldn't come, so...
He had a gig.
He had a gig, which is fine, but how did you feel about hosting? Was that your first time hosting?
No, I mean, I do band stuff all
but,
the time.
But, like, hosting, like, not just hosting. Band, like...
Hosting.
Yeah, because I know, like, so you're in a band, and you do the talking a I lot of the times.
I'm the talking person.
But, as a host...
I don't know, is it different?
Is it?
It's not really different, though.
It's about the same.
It's about the same. Mm. Standing in front of people babbling.
But sometimes I feel it's different because I actually had to do a little bit.
Oh, yeah, you do MC sometimes. For Janique.
Not really sometimes. Oh, for funk. Our yeah, funk band. Yeah, you're right. I don't necessarily say anything.
She just be saying craziness.
I just, like, follow you and what you're saying, and then I just kind of make a manzai out of it.
Yeah, they love that.
So, that's what I do there.
I think that's
so
how
So, being in front of people, like as a teacher here, yeah, so... True. That helped me build up my confidence in talking to a group of people. Yeah. But, like, just to do a little banter, that mm-hmm. was something I learned a little bit with our funk band. Mm-hmm. And as a host,
yeah,
in our own stuff, mm-hmm. I think I could do a little bit, but I still need a little bit of practice. But when I did it for Janique as, like, introducing, it was not my event. It's right. me introducing another person. And I'm just like, what do I say? I was so nervous.
Really?
Yes. Like, in the very beginning, I was like... what did I say? How are you doing, everyone? Minna genki. And then I was just like, oh my god, this is terrible.
This is
right? So I was like, that wasn't good. Let me hear you say minna genki. So I just like did it a little louder. Right. And you're like, yes. Oh. Like, that's how I started it. So after I heard the feedback of people getting yes. louder, I was like, oh, okay, I could do this.
Yes.
But then I started flustering with my words a little bit. I called her Nikki instead of Janique Nicole, which is her stage name. I was like, oh. No. But as soon as I said Nikki, I was like, Janique Nicole, let's give her a round of applause and bring her out here. And then everyone started clapping. So I was just like,
covered it up.
I just felt like I did a flop. But no, when I asked my friends, they're like, you did well. I'm like, y'all understand. It didn't feel good for me. It did not.
Did you have a script or like?
I had made a script. Okay. And I had wrote something down. I had it in my phone and I carried it with me. But mm-hmm. I didn't really
read
it.
Did you practice?
I did practice. But okay. It was like very last minute.
Okay.
Because she didn't have anyone. I said, girl, I could do it for you.
So and I then wrote you it. Were like,
ah. But then it was like we had to set up, and like mm-hmm. it was a very busy day, so I didn't have that much time to practice. Mm-hmm. But a nice lady came to visit from Yokohama to meet me before the event. She couldn't come to the event, so I mm-hmm. had like a little coffee with her, and then I practiced with her. And she's like, "You'll be fine."
Meeting people, just meeting people.
She asked me. She's really cool. And she's in the Facebook group, Black Women in Japan. Oh, so. Okay. I was like, why not? And she does YouTube.
Stay connected.
It's Cornelius. I don't know if you've ever seen her. She's on YouTube. Don't worry about it. But I met her. She's really cool. So. Okay. Cornelius, please come to Osaka. I said Cornelius. Cornelia. Sorry.
Cornelius. I was like, Cornelius? I was like, I don't judge.
Sorry.
I don't judge.
She's probably going to. Yeah,
Cornelia.
Whatever. I'm sorry, Cornelia. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, that was my experience hosting mm-hmm. Something outside of my own thing.
Right.
Right. And
I mean, I have the presentation that I did last week. Right. I don't know if that's...
It's a little different.
No. It's a little different, but you have to have the same energy, I think.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's very quiet in a presentation hall. And that, like you said, when you don't hear the feedback, you start going into your head.
Right.
And you start... freaking out because you're like, no one is saying anything. Are they listening? Are they interested?
Right.
So I had to like guss it up, throw some jokes out there, right. Make sure people, hey, right. You guys sleep out there. And they're like, no, where?
I think something that also made me sweat at Janique's performance is when I was like, I'm really proud of her as a friend because I was trying to like give her that, you know, kind of prop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then someone was like, we're all proud of her. I'm like, okay, I didn't mean to like.
I didn't mean that you that way. Way.
But then I was just like, "You are okay. We're all better." Because I kind of like had to.
Right.
I don't know.
You don't want to fluster under that.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, someone reacted when I didn't expect them to react.
Y'all been quiet the whole time. Now y'all want to talk is what I was saying.
I give mad props to comedians.
Yeah.
Mad props because yeah. like that shit is hard. Yeah. And during the showcase event, mm-hmm. I made a couple of corny jokes because I'm corny. I get it. It's fine. I made some mom dad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And you called me out
cuz we're a group. We're a set.
Which is fine cuz like that's a manzai thing that we do here. But I think at some point people weren't laughing that much until like later on, like they finally understood our relationship and how we interact with each other. And then I think the one part that made everyone laugh was like the cop. Like, you remember Osaka guys? Mm-hmm. Osaka boys, that song? Mm-hmm. And I said something about the cops coming, and then everybody laughed. I was like, yes! I made one successful joke. Actually, two. It was like, right, it was back to back. So I was like, oh, gosh. Shit. And then, like, I was mad. I don't think Daniel recorded it, but it's like, hey, I got big laughs. Not just like little chuckles, like, oh, that was corny.
Are you sure they weren't laughing because it was corny?
I just think they were laughing at me. That's okay.
They were laughing with you.
Okay. Thanks for that.
We were laughing together.
But it was an experience. So if y'all ever, you know, want to challenge yourself, you can try hosting.
It's exhausting.
It is.
I was so tired at the end of showcase.
Right.
It's like, I'm ready for a nap. Yeah. And then we went out all night.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think we explained exactly what showcase was, but.
Oh, yeah.
Showcase and chill. It's called Showcase and Chill. So we are showcasing visual art and mm-hmm. performance art. So I was asking people in our group to submit work, physical or digital, and the digital work I printed and I posted it on the walls while we had 8 performers this time. First time we had 10 or 9. Mm-hmm. And the second time around, we were able to schedule it better.
Yeah.
And we had 2 sets and a nice break in the middle. Mm-hmm. And that was the chill part. That's why it's showcase and chill. And we had a mixture of singers, spoken word, and we had African drums at the very end,
mm-hmm.
which was really nice. Everyone really liked that.
And they were very good.
Very, very good.
Very, very good. So.
Yeah. So what do you want Showcase and Chill to evolve into?
I would just like for it to become a larger platform for artists of color
mm-hmm.
to showcase their art in Japan, because I feel like as artists of color in Japan, we're often forced to exist within certain narratives that maybe are not quite true to what we feel ourselves being. For example, a lot of Black artists, they tend to do either like hip hop or R&B music because that's what Japanese people want to hear from Black people.
That's what they expect.
They love when they hear you're a singer, they go, oh, R&B music, and it's like, no, I'm in a rock band,
you know? Right? And not even just rock, but punk rock.
Yeah, so it's difficult, but, you know, you have to play for the Japanese public. So right. If no Japanese people are looking for a black punk band,
right.
Then you have to, you know, do what people are looking for.
Right, and then is this it's like when we have our funk band mm-hmm. play, they want to play songs that everyone knows.
They want black music, is what they call it.
Popular music that they recognize.
Popular, like R&B, disco, like from the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Right.
They call that black music.
Right.
For the most part. Which I mean, it's, yeah, whatever.
I mean,
I hate the title black music because.
Technically, it is because black people did originate.
All pop music is black music.
Basically,
though.
But it's just like that genre doesn't make sense because it's actually more. You know, specific.
I mean, it's like
the
Grammys. Like, right. Black people are in the, was it urban contemporary category? That's kind of what it is. That's what black music is in Japan. It's the urban contemporary.
Aban is how they say in Japanese. Aban. For urban.
So I just want, you know, Showcase and Chill to be a place for black people that do all kinds of music, not just R&B or not just hip hop. They're not just rappers. They're also poets. They do spoken word. They do prose. Or they play acoustic guitar. They play their African drums. Like, I think these are kinds of black people that Japanese people don't get to see.
Right. Right, because, like, what I really wanted was a variety. I think this time around... Oh, no, we had two spoken word. We had two last time. I wanted a little bit more spoken word, but mm-hmm.
It's difficult, you know. They probably don't get the concept of spoken word, and if their English isn't there.
You know, but I'm talking about participants.
Oh, okay.
So we only had two, and... Mm. For both times, and it's just trying to get more was a little bit difficult than like singers and stuff like that. So, which is okay, and we had different genres of singers, which I enjoyed.
Yes.
And what was I trying to say? And we had African drums. So basically, what I was trying to do was get a variety of age difference and mm-hmm. people like who've been in Japan for a long time and who haven't. It was mm-hmm. like newbies mm-hmm. and like variety of genders and variety of like just different genres as well. I mean, it's really hard, especially when it's like, oh, we have 8 performers.
Yeah.
But like as you know, the event continues and we have different times. Like we might have themes. We might.
Right.
'Cause I think at first we wanted to have a theme.
Mm-hmm.
But it really depends, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but really it's a platform to uplift
mm-hmm.
black artists in Japan and help them, you know, get their name out there, get them a chance to perform without having expectations forced upon
them. That's true, because, like, a bunch of us messed up, which is okay, and that was another mm-hmm. thing I wanted to enforce is that this event was not to be perfect. It's mm-hmm. not like a concert that people are spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for mm-hmm. you to see you.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, this is practice, basically. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, you've never really performed. I mean, I think everybody had some experience.
Yeah.
But if you want more practice with more of your peers,
yes,
then this is the place you can do it for.
Definitely.
I sang for the first time by myself.
She did.
She helped me in a way, but still messed up.
Wow, didn't we just give a speech about making mistakes?
But, like, you messed up where I didn't want you to mess up.
That was not my guitar. I played that guitar for the first time
her song. You didn't mess up in the guitar.
What part?
You didn't sing a part.
It's because I was trying to play the guitar. I was like,
Yeah, you didn't have a guitar pick. You had
I had a 1 yen coin.
1 yen coin to do it. But it's okay.
It was a struggle.
I did Janelle Monáe's I Like That, and there's a rap in it. Mm-hmm. And the part that I kept messing up when I was practicing, I messed up in the real rehearsal too. Even the last time I practiced it, I was okay.
But when you do it in front of people,
I was so
different.
Nervous. My voice was quivering. I was like, oh my God. I felt like I did shit, but everyone's like, you did okay.
No, you did fine.
But thanks. Thanks, y'all.
Practice. You got to keep doing it, though.
So this is why I have the event, man. This is what I do.
To keep doing it.
And I'm glad that you are here to help me.
Whatever.
Anyway, let's move along. That was our event, and like that was what we're trying to do in Osaka.
Yes.
And we're hoping that more of you who are in the area come and enjoy, because they be lit. And you had one on YouTube. You did the video.
Yes, last one is on YouTube.
And then Instagram. And then people message me like, oh, Osaka looks lit. I want to go. I'm like, well, bring your ass. And make sure you come when I have an event. Because, like, don't be coming here when I'm not in Osaka.
I got a lot of those messages too. They were like, where is this at? I want to go. I was like,
I had quite a few people in Tokyo saying they wanted to be in Osaka. So.
Come on, Osaka, babe. They should have like a field trip. All of them should like split money, rent a car, come down here. Just they can crash at your place. Right. You got lots of space.
No.
And then we'll all have them.
I don't want everybody and their mama in my place, so.
Okay, we can just share. Get cozy.
Well, it depends. We'll talk about it.
We'll see. Got a plan.
All right, so next we're going to do our rant section.
Oh, is that it?
I think so.
We're not going to talk about Wonderground?
Oh, shoot.
We missed it at the showcase event. We got to talk about it at some point.
I'm sorry.
We keep not talking about it. No one's going
to
know.
And I wanted to talk about it, too. I thought we did. We mentioned it a little bit, but
we kind of mentioned it at the beginning.
We didn't talk in depth. So we have another event.
A new event.
A new event in June 30th. And this event is not a showcase of, like, performance art, but rather another DJ event, music event. And it's not, like, a club event like Ghost or Mood.
No.
This one's a little different. It's going to be still, like, cozy feel because it's a smaller area, a smaller
It's not in
space.
A club space. So it's in a bar.
Yeah, it's a bar. But we can move stuff around. It's going to be a nice little party.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, kind of house party vibes. And it's going to be a lot of new music that you don't here in Japan, because in Japan right now there's like a trap boom, there's like a soft trap Japanese rap boom, and then there's the 90s old school boom that's going on. So every club you go to is playing Montel Jordan, and you know, this is how we do it.
It's so funny because I said on Facebook before we went out that night that it was like a warning for all the I said it in Japanese, it's like, please don't play this song.
But they already got their playlist decided. You know it's already decided. They are not taking requests. They don't take requests in Japan. They play what they have already planned. And that's all you're getting. And it's often, you will hear songs repeated. Bruno Mars, I think we heard twice at Mood one night.
Because they already have it. And then they have very predictable transitions. So if this song plays, you know that this song is
going to
be
next.
Or they
don't even play the good part of the song. They play
never
like the
do.
Opening. And not even, like, the chorus or something.
It's gotten so bad within the past year or so that, like, I've complained constantly with my promoter friends. Mm-hmm. And actually now I think they're starting to change. Like, they've been talking to the Japanese staff and the DJs about it. Because, like, if foreigners who are most of your patrons are complaining,
right,
you got to change something because then you're going to lose those people eventually.
Yeah.
So
So that's basically why we decided to make our own club event, because we want to hear more music, not even contemporary, just recent hits, recent bops, like recent good music. We don't want people like skipping half of the song, like play the good part of the song if you even know what the good part is.
Right.
So that's kind of like what this event is.
Yeah. So we have, did you say the genres?
Oh, no, I did not say the genres.
So what are we playing?
We're playing, I'm going to play a lot of the new hip-hop and
R&B
stuff.
Did you hear that? She said she's going to play. She's going to be DJing. You see all the shit that we are doing?
Yeah, I'm studying DJing by myself. Me and virtual DJ and some YouTube tutorials are in my house, you know, trying to figure out how to blend these tracks together. Is harder than I thought. Like, I thought I was just going to be like, oh.
Right, because you have very good taste of music. You like a variety. I like a variety. But when it comes to making playlists, I think you're good at that.
Thank you. But then
when you're DJing, it's a little bit different than just a playlist.
You have to time things. You have to set the cue. You have to make sure the BPMs are not too far off, or at least the beat is matching. And so I'm going to play a lot of, actually, my playlist is a lot of black female artists. I have Lakaylee 47, Noah. I have, I think her name is Rihanna. I'm going to play Lion Babe. I'm going to play.
I love them.
Now? I said now.
You said now.
I'm going to play The Internet if I can. I'm going to play a little Anderson .Paak because he's just good
you
grooves.
You have to.
He's just good grooves. Like, they don't play groovy music like that at the bar or the club in Japan. So it just seems so predictable. And I just want to create a playlist where you'd be like, oh, I've never heard the song, but I dig it. Like, okay. That's what I'm trying to do. So I don't know what those genres are, but that's
They say, like, on Spotify, like, a mixture of alternative.
Right.
R&B.
Whatever that means.
Or new age.
Because a lot of them have, like, house kind of beats, backbeats and stuff to it. So they're, like, essentially dance music. It's just black people dance music, which is automatically good.
Usually. You heard it. So what's your DJ name? You don't want to say it?
What? Because it sounds silly when I say it out loud.
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, do you want me to say it? I don't know how I want to say it yet.
Okay.
Because it's F-E-M-Q.
Yeah.
But F-E, like iron in the periodic table, so F and small e.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking of either saying it as
was
like
that on fem- purpose?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like femk.
Femk?
Or femq.
I thought femq was nice.
You like femq?
I like femq.
Okay, we'll say femq then. Is my...
Because when she, like... When you told me about that name, I was like feminine, and now F-E is iron, like strong, and then
the
Q.
The most abundant element in the universe.
That, other than vibranium.
Wait, oh my God.
Then the Q, you right. told me what, like question, queer?
Well, I don't know, I just liked Q, but you said queer, and I was like, whoa, well, now that you've mentioned it, I've been thinking about my personal identity as it relates to how I see my own gender identity, and I was like, that's an interesting way to put it.
So, femq so. Sounds cool.
Okay, we'll do
that. Not femq. What the fuck is that? Love you, sorry.
I was thinking about how you would write it in katakana, so that
oh,
was kind of like
no, femq is better. I think like you femq. Can you can put q
as
in
long as they
katakana.
Don't say q's mode or something oh, stupid like that.
Japanese in their katakana.
You know. You know.
So yeah, it's gonna be Elise's first time DJing.
Oh Jesus.
She'll be like around the first
yeah,
DJ.
I'm gonna be early.
So if you are in the area, please come early.
No, don't do that.
Or not. I'll be there. And then you can...
Just me and three people, that's all I need.
All right.
That's all I need.
I want people to come and chill with Elise's playlist, because whatever she's been letting me listen to right now, it sounds awesome already. So we'll see about that.
What's the other genres?
The genres we have, I don't remember.
There's Afro House.
Yes, oh yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
There's Vogue on the list, but I don't know who's playing Vogue. Which is kind of like
I
house.
I think Fernando is playing. Both.
Okay, I thought he was doing Future Funk.
Oh, wait, he's doing Future Funk.
Yeah.
No, Miles is playing.
Okay, Miles. Yeah, Miles got good house. He always has really good house music. There's a bass guy coming. Yuji does electronic progressive. And then, yeah, Metagame is going to do Future Funk towards the end of the night.
Yeah.
So it's going
to
be really
I'm
funky
looking forward to that
end.
Because his music is really good.
It's going
to
be.
His playlist is really good.
We're going to have all kinds of genres. So, you, so I don't know. So maybe some people aren't into tasting different genres. But if you
I mean,
that.
If you're into the hip-hops, we'll play a little bit of that.
Yeah. Like,
I And like you said, you're playing like music like Anderson .Paak. So it's like,
yeah.
That would be there. That's good music, y'all.
Black people created house
music. I'm
going
to need y'all who like hip-hop clubs to also venture out and just experience good music.
Do
just
more.
Just do that, please. Just a little bit. Just a little
Black
bit.
People built this house.
Exactly. All right, is that it about Wonderground? Anything else?
It's going to be June 30th. It's only 1,000 yen, which is really cheap.
Yes.
And it's in Amemura.
Yes.
On a Saturday night.
It's called Cat's Bar. And it's above Circus, Osaka, so yeah.
It's going to be a nice
come
place.
Come through. All right, cool. So, did I ask this? I didn't. Future events in general, what would you like to see more in Osaka?
What kinds of events would I like to see more? I would like to just see more affordable indie band type music events. I would like to see a bunch of indie bands get together and throw like one big... like indie festival kind of thing, because I know we have lots of friends that do bands,
right?
But it's always like the times are like so bada bada, or the location is like, oh, I'm gonna be in Kobe, it's like, oh, but I gotta go this way, and we're not gonna be able to do it. So I think it'd be nice if we could get all of our band friends together to do like one big band festival.
True.
But also then genres. People don't like mixing genres here, so if it's a rock band festival, only rock bands are allowed. Or if it's an any song band festival, only any song.
Well, can we try?
I would prefer if we just had whatever band, whatever genre you play, as long as you play your music with your band, with like instruments, then you can go.
Okay, we'll try.
That's what I would like.
I want to see more of like some people who listen to this podcast know about Bay Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically an all-girl, like, nightclub music party.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice to see more of that in Osaka as well. I had tried
Osaka?
To ask. Well, I don't want to call it Bay Osaka. I don't want it, because that's not my thing. That's Jada's thing. And I mean, I know Jada. So it's like, please try to bring it to Osaka, but it's kind of hard with the transporting people.
Right.
Is that the word?
Transporting
people here and the money and finding the venue. It's like, it's a little difficult because she's in Tokyo, but actually now she's in California. So I don't know what they're doing with that, like, okay, how often they're doing it.
But there is really big now, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, if by any chance she does have it in Osaka, I hope she hits me up first. If not, that's cool. I would, like, still try to attend to it. So, yeah, if you listen, Jada, I think you do. Broop, broop. Holla at me. All right, finished?
Yeah.
Let's talk about our rant.
It's going to get really hot in here.
It's already hot in here.
It's going to get hotter.
Well, I am not so much angry anymore.
Are you sure?
No, no. Like, I wrote this really long Facebook post.
I saw.
And I think that released all the hate energy that I had into that post. So I think if you guys heard us say cops earlier in this episode, yes, cops were called at my event. So yeah, it sounds like, oh, the party was so lit that cops were called because it's like, is, you know, that fun. But it was excessive.
Yes.
Seven times. The cops were called at my event.
Well, they showed up seven times. We don't know how. I guess.
They
might have been just rolling around.
No, like, no. If they're coming seven times, they have to respond and come those every time. There's no limit for a person to call for the same thing.
Oh, my God.
In Japan. And so what happened was the owner across the building, one of the buildings, the owner across the street, I guess, felt some type of way about our event and about the guests that we had in our event and called the cops. And they called around like 9 the first time. And in Japan, there's I think like a curfew of noise.
It's an ordinance.
Ordinance.
Yeah.
So it's like they rather you not make such loud noises around 11 or 10.
Depends on the area, but it's after 10.
Okay.
After 10 o'clock, you have to keep the noise level down.
But that's usually in residential areas, right?
Yes.
So, the area we were at is not residential.
Not necessarily, no. It's kind of half and half.
Yeah. So, I think about after the third or fourth time, we were, like, really annoyed. But the first time they came, we had the door open.
Right.
And we didn't have, like, such loud performances.
No, we don't have any, like, big bands or anything.
No. But towards the end, we had the African drums. But at that time, we already started closing the door when we had our events because the cops had come. But they still kept coming. They asked for the owner's Gaijin card or Zaiju card. What is it called? Is it Zaiju? No. It's residence card.
Yeah, I think it's residence card.
Okay. So the residence card, and that annoyed him. And we just was like, all right, let's just try to have fun still and ignore the cops. And we did.
Right.
We did.
We still hung out. We were drinking, listening to music, hanging out.
It was really fun. And when it ended, people were leaving. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think 99% of people left around 12:30. But when I was leaving, I was like a block away and we were waiting for our friend. Mm-hmm. They were still trying to help somebody, one of the our friends, mm-hmm, who was really drunk.
Yes.
So he was just like on the steps, like just sleeping and trying to like recoup.
Right.
And we were, three other black people, because he was white, three other black people trying to help him up. But the cops were still there.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was waiting a block away for my friend, we hear, "Go home! Go home!" And we're like, who the fuck is that?
Oh,
we thought that was the owner of the restaurant,
right,
like, feeling annoyed about the cops.
Right.
Found out later that it was the owner across the street telling everybody that was there, it was four people, to go home. But not only did he say go home, because mm-hmm, that's what I heard.
Right.
But when I asked my friend,
mm-hmm,
it happened that he said, fucking niggers, go home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He said all that?
He said that. So he was like telling everyone, like, go home, like, go back to your own country, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying the N-word with the hard R. So I wrote this long post on Facebook just so people know that this stuff does happen in Japan.
Yes.
It's not often. It's not like the States where cops come and, like, kill us.
Yeah.
But
There's no violence.
There are chances where there are people who are verbally...
abusing. Yes, verbal abuse.
Yeah, verbally, basically, harassing black people. Or foreigners in general, but in this case, very racist, saying the N-word to us.
And there is quiet at 12:30.
Like, no one was downstairs anymore. I said it was four people left. And then the staff downstairs who were cleaning up.
Yeah.
So the event was completely over. But he felt the need to come across the street and say that. So.
And, like, what can you say to that? Like,
what can you say?
told you so. They're like racist ass people in Japan.
I'm not surprised.
But, yeah, none of us are surprised. I know people, a lot of my friends on Instagram that don't live in Japan were surprised. They were like, oh my God, that happened? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Racists are everywhere.
It's just like, I felt like this dude, I don't know, but I just felt like he watches a lot of stuff on the internet where like there's that YouTuber, that Japanese YouTuber
who
says,
you're talking about.
But I'm just saying, I'm not going to say his name, but he has that video talking about black people are dangerous in Japan. Mm-hmm. So he might be watching him and his hate speech. And then maybe he's watching the news in America where cops come and like beat up black people or shooting them. So it's
the coverage here is very sparse and it's not very fair towards black people the way they cover it here.
So he probably does have this image that black people are dangerous in general. So for him to come out there and
show his ass,
shout like that. But the thing is, he's a coward because there was four cops there. One female cop who I heard was like over it. Like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
And the other guy cops were like holding him back while he's like shouting over them saying go home.
So they had to restrain the guy shouting.
Basically.
What the was he drunk? Did the police like say anything about him?
No. I think after he shouted, they were, like, trying to
just get him to leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, don't expect the police to really be looking out for you.
So. Yeah, police don't really do anything, and it's also not illegal to be noisy, even though there's the ordinance.
Yeah, it's not illegal.
It's not illegal. So
you can't get they can't arrest you for making noise at night.
They just stare at you and be like, can you please be quiet?
Or right, and then can you go home? Is there, like, that's a Japanese cop response. Can you please go home?
And then when they panic, they ask for the gaijin card. So it's like. Yeah, there's that. So, yeah, I just want to let y'all know that, yes, racism does happen. There are racist people in Japan.
Yeah.
Not just xenophobic. Not just like, oh, you're a foreigner. But they're actually people who know
they don't like you because you are black.
That, like, anti-blackness and
they feel like black people are dirty.
It's prevalent.
They're ugly or whatever other words they want to use.
Yeah, because I said in my Facebook post, like, there are, when I was teaching in Eikaiwa and I would talk to Japanese people, like, they weren't trying to be rude.
Right.
I mean, they respected me, but when I asked them questions about, like, where they would travel or certain things like that, like, I can tell there's underlying anti-blackness in their way they speak. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's there. They don't notice it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunate.
Yes.
It exists. So, on that night, though, you had an experience.
Inward experience. Mm-hmm. Same night. I don't recall anyone ever busting out the N-word at me up until this point in my 8 years here. I think this is the first time.
Yeah.
And we were just on the corner. We had crossed the street. And we were waiting for our friends on the other side of the street, waiting for the light to change. And there was this car of Japanese guys in this little hoopty, Daihatsu hoopty. You know, they were calling out to our friend Brie, because she's cute. She's tiny and she's cute. So they were trying to holler. And we were just ignoring them, because that's what you do when guys holler at you from a car. You ignore them.
Right.
But then the light changed, and as they sped off, they were like, pussy-ass niggas. And we were just like,
did they even sound right?
I mean, we could tell that's what they said.
Okay.
I can't. You know, imitate their accent.
Oh, so, like, they were trying to holler because you ignored them, they said that.
I don't know why they said it, but they said it, and they sped off real fast after they said it. They weren't waiting to see what would happen if they said it. So, you know, all of us, it was, like, at least 7 or 8 of us there, and we were just like, what did we do? We're waiting to cross the street, standing there, minding our business, not yelling at them, mind you, as they yell at us, right? We're not saying anything, but they just felt the need to call us pussy-ass niggas on their way down the street. And we're just like, all right, that happened, so let's go on to the club. Let's go get drunk.
Same night.
I think the racism was real last weekend. I don't know what it was. Was Trump in Japan, maybe?
I was thinking it was Memorial Weekend. There was a lot more foreigners, a lot more military people coming through. So maybe they felt threatened.
They thought they were going to lose their country to occupation again. That's what happens when you like invade Asia, though. I'm just saying. That's a whole nother conversation about revisionist history.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to go into that because, ooh, these nationalist schools get on my nerves. But anyway, Japan has they are very much nationalist. They're very conservative. So even if you're Asian, you are not Japanese, right? You're a different kind of Asian from them. And it pisses them off when Japanese people are lumped with other Asian people.
Yeah, they do.
They're like, oh, no, but I'm Japanese. I'm like, You're also Asian. Like, that's your group. Like, I'm African, you Asian. Like, that's the group you're in. They're like, no, but I'm Japanese. Like, it's the brand name Asian.
You know, funny thing, I'm just going to expose my ignorance here a little bit. The first, I think, 4 years I was here, whenever my friends were like, oh, I want to visit Asia. But I was like, but you're visiting Japan. Like, for some reason.
All the Japanese people would say
that? No. Me. I thought that. I didn't say it. But I was like, yeah, but it felt weird. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because of my students and the way they have so much pride in Japan. The way they don't really say Asia.
Right.
I'm just like, when someone says that is not Japanese and from the States saying they always wanted to visit Asia, I felt weird about it. Oh, and it was a bit ignorant of me, I think. Mm-hmm. But like now I'm like, yeah, it's the Japanese saying that and making me think that they're not Asia.
Yeah, y'all Asian.
But they are.
Y'all Asian.
Y'all
like,
Asian.
That's what it is. Like, y'all it's not an insult. They take it like it's an insult sometimes. And it's mostly the really nationalist people that do it because they have so much pride in being Japanese.
Yeah.
You know, like, if that's why I think DNA tests are not a thing in Japan, because DNA tests are done based on your DNA haplogroup. Mm. And it's divided into, like, I don't remember the exact number. My mother is very kuashi on this. She loves
all the
DNA,
details.
Love ancestry stuff. But there's like a few different haplogroups. There's like the U haplogroup, the H haplogroup. And this has to do with which kind of humans went to which continent. Okay. So African Americans, I think, are in the U haplogroup for the most part. Okay. And then Asians are in another haplogroup. Mm-hmm. So all the Asians are in this genetic group. Like, that's what it is. But like, so like when they, if they were to take a DNA test, they're probably going to get, you know, East Asian. They're not going to get specifically Japanese, because Japanese people don't take DNA tests, so there's not enough data. But also, that's their haplogroup.
Your husband Asian. Took it, right?
He took it, and when he got his results back, he was 100% East Asian. And he was like, okay. I guess, yeah, I mean, I am. So then we took it to another place, and he got Japanese, Chinese, Indonesian, and Finnish.
Finnish is... He got Finnish. That surprised me.
And we were like, where though? from. So now we have more questions, and we want his sister wants to take it so she can see if she has Finnish too.
That's interesting.
So they're really open. Like, Shota, I think, used to be more I am Japanese, I'm not Asian,
right?
But he's getting, I think, as we start talking about moving to Japan, I'm like, when people see you, they're gonna see an Asian guy,
right?
They're not necessarily gonna
moving
see a Japanese
out of,
guy,
like, going into Hawaii,
yeah, moving to the States, they're not gonna exactly maybe see you as a Japanese right. guy. They're gonna see you as that Asian dude. He's like, if I'm seen as Hawaiian, it's okay. I'm like, right, get out of here. Now you reaching. for stuff. You ain't even muscly. It's not gonna
not
work.
Not at all. He looks more Singaporean than Japanese anyway.
He would look more like Southeast Asian than me. Yeah. Like Filipino. If someone said he was Filipino,
and he
I'd be like...
tans like a Filipino.
Japanese people tan in general. They all
That's
tan.
True.
We
That's
went
true.
To the children's sports day. All the babies is brown.
They are.
They all brown.
So. But, you know, there's some that are more brown than others.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some tan more easily.
Yeah.
And they get a little bit more darker, but they're all brown.
They're all brown.
So I'm just like, damn, I really need you to, like,
do better.
Embrace your melanin, because you got it. You do have it.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's there. Yeah, because there's times where in the summer, I have bad eyesight, even my glasses on. So from, like, afar, I might see someone really brown, and I think it's, like, another foreigner.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like... No, oh, shoot, that's my friend, actually. Like, the bar owner that
right.
used to work
that's at. That's Japanese person.
And then his light-ass girl, his daughters.
Oh,
like,
wow.
His daughters are very light.
Yeah.
And, like, he's also... No, he's from... Is he from Okinawa area?
Hmm.
I forget, but
maybe
like
southern
a lot
Japan.
Of yeah, a lot of the southern Japan Japanese have darker skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like to see him that dark and thinking he was a foreigner, like, blew my mind when I first saw it, and that was like 4 years ago.
Right.
So now I'm like used to it. I'm like, okay, that's probably just a Japanese person.
They get brown.
They get brown. They get brown as you. You and Shota get about the
Shota,
same.
Shota, his arms are always outside of his sleeves, so his arm is about as dark as my arm is right now. Yeah. And sadly, it's only his arm, because when he takes off his shirt, it's just as white as can be.
He got the farmer's tan.
Oh, my God. I'm like, baby, go to the roof and just get a little more sunshine.
Just get it, because... It don't look right.
That poor baby.
Gotta even out.
We gotta even it out. Get all the sun.
All right, well, we're running out of time.
Yep.
So I'm glad that we were able to get that out.
Yeah, I'm not gonna talk about it no more.
That's
I'm
it.
Done.
That's
I'm
it.
Done.
That was. We just wanted to make sure y'all know that this should happen.
It will happen. don't think you're going to, like, maybe live your whole life free of racism here.
Yeah, and don't think it happens all the time, because I think some people are like, is Japan racist? I'm like, well, I'm not going to say that it's racist in the fact that every day you get something like that.
Right.
But they have their moments.
Yes. They have racist tendencies.
Yes, and they're like, somebody compared Japan with England. They're a little bit subtle. They are.
Yes. Subtle. Yeah. So. They frame it as in-group, out-group, but I feel like there are even layers to that. It's like, not only are you out-group, but you're also, like, very dark. So you're, like, dark out-group. You know, it's just, like, it's just probably layers.
Yeah, it's problematic, but... Yeah, so we'll end it there. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Just so you know, we will share any links. Do we have any links? We don't have any links.
Just the Wonderground, maybe.
Oh, yes, we have links. Okay, so please check the show notes for those links. And our website is curlyandkansai.com, so it's a really pretty site.
She made it.
Thank you. And if you are really into our content and want to support us monetarily, we have a site called ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com/curlyandkansai, I believe. We'll put those links in the show notes, so please check that. Just
buy us a coffee.
So make sure. Yeah, it's like a...
It's like a tip jar.
Yeah, it's a tip jar. Like, you always tell me that. Thanks. And then also, we have our personal Twitter accounts, our Instagram, and...
It's been lit on Twitter recently. We've been retweeting some stuff.
Yeah, Twitter's been lit.
Come join the party, because it's crazy over there now.
Yeah, and check our Instagrams to see the pictures that we have from the show.
From the event.
From the event. And you can email us at curlyandkansai@gmail.com. And if you're listening via Apple Podcasts, whatever, iTunes, please rate and review and share.
Sharing is caring.
See? Look at you being corny.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We love y'all, and we'll see you later. Bye. Just a couple of queens.